sixth shiur that we're giving. It's amazing to see the turnout, how many people keep coming. It makes all of us very happy, and it's a big thing, you know, for Klal Yisrael, and we're all together, and we're all coming to learn as one. Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave a chesed, a major chesed. You know, the hostages are coming back, Trump is president, things are going great. B'zad Hashem, may all the hostages be released. And may Israel, all the Jews, have longing security and not have to have any worries, no pain, no suffering. And the Torah that we learn, may it be a merit for everybody's safety, the soldiers, the hostages, and may it be a merit for Mashiach to come as soon as possible.
Amen.
And we want everybody to keep coming every single week. Learn more. There's something you can teach over to a family member, to a parent, to a sibling. Because this is something where, you know, you're not opening a Gemara and you're struggling to understand. It's something that you can open and you can start understanding slowly, slowly what's going on and how you can implement it into your daily life every single week to have a successful week, not only with Parnassah, but with your emotions as well, and how to handle your emotions when you're struggling and you feel like you might be depressed or things are not going right. Because if you have Emunah and Bitachon in Hashem, Hashem is literally like a shadow following you everywhere you go. So thank you all for coming, and we hope to see you every single week.
Okay. Thank you, David. Beautiful introduction. This class should be for the success and growth of Ronit Orli Bat Nurit, for their fuash, which is Rabbi Yosef Mizrahi, who is sick. Oz ben Michal, Rezeb bat Zulika, Ronen ben Rachel, Bosh ben Orli, Chaya bat Rachel, Yonatan ben Natalie, and Leilu Nishma, Daniel Mordechai ben Regina, David ben Masuda, Shaul Aryeh ben Simcha, Ronen ben Rachel, Estetiti bat Rina, Reb Shmayahu ben Reb Abraham Weinschneider, Ephraim Menachem, Mendel ben Yitzchak, Yaakov Yablonovich, finding a zivug of Yonatan Shmuel ben Rachel. Okay, repeat after me. Thank you. Hashem. Donald Trump is president. Donald Trump is president, Kappa. I think it's appropriate to start. I want every week to start with another type of an intro. And I want to start by saying that Faro, Amalek, the Babylonians, the Nebuchadnezzar, the first temple, Antiochus, Hanukkah, Haman, Purim, Roman, second temple, Christian Crusaders, Spanish Inquisition, Tsarist Russia, Hitler, Yamach Shemo, Stalin, Yamach Shemo, and nowadays it's Hamas and the Armenian regime, all trying to annihilate and kill the Jewish people. But what do they all have in common? They're in the history books, and the Jewish people are still standing and we're still here. And Bezrat Hashem, in 1,000 years from now, we're still going to be here. We're still going to be here standing strong, and one day we're going to teach our kids about what happened when Iran and Hamas foolishly tried to exterminate and take us out, Bezrat Hashem. So, I want to start with the power of tefillah. And it's such an amazing time, Baruch Hashem, in the world. We now have a president who actually knows his name and doesn't fall asleep during inaugurations. And Baruch Hashem, it's a very amazing time in America, and we should really be grateful to Hashem and to remember that Hashem runs the world. While Donald Trump is the messenger, Hashem is ultimately the king. And remember, when we judge Jews favorably, Hashem judges us as father. And when we judge each other negatively, Hashem judges us as king. So Bezrat Hashem, I want to start with the intro of tefillah. So to those of you who may or may not know, you spell it, the word in Hebrew for prayer is tefillah. How do you spell tefillah? Taf, Pei, Yud, Lamed. The first taf is coming to teach you ta'aseh, tenaseh, tigmor. Taf in Hebrew is a letter that's teaching a person what they should do. The Pei and the Lamed in the middle is pe'ula, meaning reality, and the Hei at the end is Hashem. When Sarai Imenu wasn't able to have children, she said, mi pilel u mi milel. Who would think in 1,000 years that I would be able to have children? I'm an old woman. I tried my entire life. But what did she do? She turned into the power of prayer. When a person believes that things will be better than they are today, then you will pray because you have hope. Many times we come, we open the Siddur, we pray in routine, we go to Minyan 3 times a day, we open up the Tehillim when we have a chance, and we're praying, but we don't believe in what we're saying. We don't believe that Hashem, our loving, kind, merciful Father, has the power to carry out our will, or to carry out rather His will. And we have to just show Him that we trust what He's doing for us in our lives. Many times we don't believe that what's happening in our life is for the best. And that's why we have to pray. And to understand that tefillah is the bridge between potential and reality. I like to say many times when I first started making content and making videos and etc. I once upon a time imagined it in my head. Even with this class, I saw it in my mind. What a person sees in their mind is almost like Hashem showing you a trailer of the reality that could be. It's potential. But what do you have to do? You have to take that potential and to use your mouth to speak it into existence. When you speak the words of the tefillah, when you say your own words of hidbodedut and prayer to Hashem, you're actually creating a reality for it to exist. Because speech creates a vessel in order to receive. Don't think to yourself, I want to be close to Hashem. That's why all of you are holding a beautiful brand new Shaar Bitachon in your hands. Thank you to the very generous sponsor. Because I want everyone that when we're going to go through the Sefer every single week, I want you all to say the words to yourself quietly, almost like you're saying the words of the Amidah. Because Bezrat Hashem, we're going to sow the words onto our soul. Baruch Shama Ve'aya Ha'olam. Hashem spoke and the world was created. The most beautiful power, the power of tefillah is the fact that as Jewish people we have a mouth. And what has the world been trying to do to us, especially post October 7th? They're trying to scare the Jewish people. They're trying to shut off our minds. Because when you instill fear in the mind, it doesn't allow the brain to operate properly. It doesn't allow the passion to flow. And this is of course on a world scale, but more personally in our lives, we have fear. Maybe chas v'shalom we're not going to get married or not be able to make a living or never be happy. I'm coming to tell you that all negativity is stemming from the Yetzara. I actually wrote down a very beautiful example for negative things. Fear, anger, insecurity, lack of patience, and the rest of them. All of these things is coming from the Yetzara. It's coming from the evil inside of us, and it truly doesn't exist. That's why it's very important that when a person is in the middle of their day and in the middle of things, actually start speaking to Hashem. Cry if you have to. If you're next to a shul, go to a shul, pray to Hashem. Come to the Aron HaKodesh, put your face on it, kiss it, say, Hashem, please help me feel better than how I'm feeling right now. Please help me to see that I'm in the middle of things and I'm reacting and I need to go into my purpose as a Jew, which is to pray and to create and to never ever allow things to shut me down, to never ever run away or escape my problems, chas v'shalom, to always go into action, to always go into prayer, and to always open up our mouths to Hashem. I'm coming here to tell you that if you imagine you can be married, it's very possible. Pray and ask Hashem for it. If you want a better marriage than what it is right now, open your mouth and pray to Hashem. Ask Him for it. It says in the Shaar Bitachon, pachat pachati vayetayeni. Hashem, you gave me fear, anxiety, worries, depression, etc., whatever it may be, every person on their own madrigal, on their own level, for the whole purpose to pray. Because Hashem wants to hear your voice. And if life is difficult, if life is sharp, if life is painful, if it's hard sometimes, it's a very good indicator that your Creator loves you, He wants the best for you, and He just wants to hear your voice. Because we mold diamonds through pressure. And I'm coming here to tell you that every single person in this room is a beautiful gem, is a beautiful diamond, a son or daughter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, making you a prince or a princess of a king, giving you enormous potential to change the world. The same way that we can all come here, you know, I feel every week when we come here, we're making a light in Shamayim. We're here in Miami and New York, the New York weather followed us all the way to here, and we still came out to learn Torah. We still came out to come closer to Hashem. It's such an amazing thing. It's a huge effort in Shamayim, and you should all be very proud of yourselves. When Yaakov wanted to marry Rachel, he taught her three signs, right? He taught her chala, nida, and hadlakat nerot. And then when Rachel didn't want her sister to be embarrassed and whatnot, she taught these signs to Leah. Chala, nida, and hadlakat nerot represents chana. By the way, that's where chena, when you do a chena by a Moroccan wedding, that's actually the origin of it. Chana wasn't able to have children. She went to the Mishkan and she was crying and crying to Hashem. And Eli HaKohen saw her crying. And Eli HaKohen, he was wearing this chest plate. I think there was 12 stones on it. And it started to light up and letters started to pop up. And the letters that popped up for him was Shin Kuf Resh Hey, spelling Shikora. So he thought to himself, this is a drunk lady. She's in the Mishkan, you know, service is closed. He went to send her home. And she said, no, you didn't read the chest plate properly. It's actually spelled Kuf Shin Resh Hey, Kshera. I am an Isha Kshera. Or Kesara. I'm like Sarai Imenu, who wasn't able to have children. And now I'm coming to pray. And of course, we all know how it concluded. She was able to have children. And you see, many, many times throughout the Torah, when tefillah is done in the proper way, all the gates in Shamayim open up. Who knows how many times Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem to go into the land of Israel? 515. Beautiful. What is the gematria of Tefillah? 515. Which parasha did Moshe Rabbeinu pray to go into the land of Israel? Parashat Vayetchanan. What's the gematria of Vayetchanan? 515. Moshe Rabbeinu's last prayer was through singing. He, of course, it's okay to cry to Hashem and to laugh with Him and to use Him as your therapist because He gave you your problems. He knows you better than anybody else. But Moshe Rabbeinu prayed through singing. How do you say singing in Hebrew? Shira. What's the gematria of Shira? 515. So you see right here, beautifully, that if a person prays to Hashem in singing, in Shira, they're able up to open up for themselves realms upon realms. Because the Pasuk says, V'ruach Elokim erachefet al pnei ha'mayim, and Hashem's wind, it's going on the lands and the waters and whatnot. Because sometimes in life, we're going through a certain difficult situation. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to go against the wave. We're hitting our head into a wall. Sometimes it's meant to be difficult. Sometimes we have to wait in order for things to come. Would you rather wait to not eat the cheesecake, or would you rather wait in the doctor's office coming to get your prescription? Would you rather wait to not get angry, or would you rather wait in line to see a therapist for anger management? Would you rather wait to get married and to do things in the proper way, or would you rather meet a girl, date her in a not kosher way, or vice versa, and then for Hashem to separate you, to break it all, and then to come back together and to eventually have to start from the beginning? Sometimes in life we have to wait for the right time for things to happen, and that's why it's so important to utilize the power of prayer, because prayer has the ability to open up for ourselves worlds. Prayer has the ability to completely change our life. And we have to believe when we pray. Don't just get into the day-to-day routine where you come and you pray and you're almost like used to it. No. If a person's single, change your perspective. Say, I'm a married person who's waiting for the right person to come into my life. If a person doesn't have money, let's say, think, I'm a rich person that's waiting for the keli to open up. Or if a person's going through a difficulty, tell yourself, I'm a happy person and I'm just going through a hard time right now. And that's okay. Okay. Hold space for yourself. And Bezrat Hashem, through the power of prayer, opening up our hearts to Hashem, not just through the tefillah, you know, through the Sidur. Of course, I very much recommend the Sidur. I brought it from the studio to show you guys because it has the English translation under each word. It's called the Yedid Hashem from the Gurmazian edition, the Gurmazian family. If anyone needs a Sidur, I'll be more than happy to try to get you a copy. And Bezrat Hashem, we should try to use the prayer in order to develop a relationship with Hashem, because the highest level is giving to give, not coming to get close to Hashem because you want to receive something. To really, really search deep within your heart and to say, I want to be close to Hashem. I want to be close to Hashem. No matter what, I want to be close to Hashem because I want to be a better influence on my family, my friends, the people around me, and I want to be proud of myself. Sometimes a person thinks to himself, well, I don't come from a religious family. By the way, I don't either. My family in Israel drives them Shabbat, whatever it is, you know, not to speak negatively, but just, you know, to relate. It's very understandable if a person doesn't come from a certain religious background, or maybe wasn't born and went to a yeshiva and whatnot. It's very understandable if a person feels they didn't come from a religious background. You see from the avot, right? Rachel's parents wasn't religious. He was Laban. He was a wicked person. So a person shouldn't feel bad or hard about themselves if they don't come from the most perfect family or whatnot. Because it says in the Torah, Kedoshim to you. Hashem says, be holy wherever you are. Hashem is saying that if whether you come from Miami, New York, Georgia, who knows where, it doesn't matter what your background is. Accept the fact that you have this tikkun. Accept the fact that you have this family, you have these friends, and you have this life. And don't compare. Don't think, well, oh, I'm 30 and I'm not married yet. So what? Maybe you have a specific tikkun. Maybe it's not your right time yet. Maybe your soulmate's in Israel in seminary, or maybe your husband's working on himself and he's keeping Shabbat and he's about to find you. You never know when's the right time for things to happen. I'd actually like to share a quick story. It's a story of Ramoshe Feinstein, who was one time a Seder Kiddushin. He one time made a match, and at the wedding, the man, he took the ring and he tried to put it on the girl's finger, and the ring fell onto the floor. Obviously, the whole crowd was like, you know, Hollywood. He picks up the ring, he tries to put it on a second time, and the ring falls to the floor. Now the crowd is in complete, utter disbelief. Oh, maybe it's a sign from Hashem. They're not meant to be. Finally, the guy picks up the ring, he puts it on the third time. Mazel tov. The ring doesn't fall down. The whole crowd obviously is in shock from what they just witnessed. They come to Rav Moshe Feinstein and they said, Rav Moshe, maybe it was a sign from Hashem that the ring fell. It wasn't meant to be. Maybe Hashem's trying to show, break it up. We don't want them to have a bad life together. Rav Moshe said, look at the simplicity. Look at the level of thinking of the people. So negative. So not accurate. No, it wasn't the right time in Shamayim for the two halves of a soul to merge and to become one. So maybe an angel had to come and push it to delay it 60 seconds for the right time to happen. We don't know the right time for things to happen. And that's why it's so bad to think, you know, this negative way of thinking of, oh, you know, blaming yourself and getting hard on yourself. It's the wrong way to do it. Be positive about things. Know that the right time is going to come for when the right time comes. It's already written down 40 days before you were born. What are you worried about? The right person's out there. The right business is out there. The right feeling and state of mind is out there. But you have to believe in yourself. And when you believe in yourself, and when you believe that Hashem loves you, and you believe that no matter where you are in your life, you can always come a step closer, and you can open up for Hashem vessels and kelim, and you can create things in this world through the power of prayer, through the power of learning Torah, and through the power of gnut chasadim, the three things that the world stands on. So Bezrat Hashem, we should be able to believe in ourselves, to believe that our words matter, that we matter, that our speech matters, and to believe that we can truly do anything in this world. It all starts with the belief. From the thought, we have to put it into speech, and then to put it into action, and to continue building ourselves up. So Bezrat Hashem, amen. So now we're going to go to page 26. And by the way, if anybody has any questions at any time during the class, you're more than welcome to raise your hand and to ask the question. Don't feel bad if you feel it's a difficult question or whatnot. I'm encouraging you to embarrass me, to put me on the spot. We're not here to be perfect. We're here to grow together, and we're here to really accomplish together. I think the beauty of this class, of course, like David said, is that we really want to come every single week, and we want to grow together and to go through the sefer together. And Bezrat Hashem, in a couple of months, we'll do a siyum, and we'll pick the next sefer. And slowly, slowly, you're going to tell yourself, wow, look, I came to this Monday night class every week, and I finished Shara Bitachon with commentary from Rav Victor Miller. Wow, look at me. Maybe I can actually become a big Tamid Chacham one day. You really never know. You really never know. The beauty of the Torah it goes so far, and just coming and sitting and learning like we're doing now, it's going to give us power for the next entire week, Bezrat Hashem. So we're on page 26 in the bottom, and where we got to last time was beginning to show the contrast between an alchemist and the Baal Bitachon. For those of you who don't know, back in the olden days, there was something called an alchemist. He was able to take raw material, copper, tin, whatever it was, and to convert it into gold. So you would think that this person doesn't need to have Bitachon and Hashem, because no matter where he is or where he's at in the world, he's easily able to take this, you can call it cheap material, and to turn it into the finest of materials. And he's not going to have to trust Hashem. So we're going to go through now the couple advantages over from the alchemist to the Baal Bitachon. And Bezrat Hashem Nasev Natsiach. So we're on 26 in the bottom where it says 1. Everybody have me? And remember, as I read it with me. I'm going to try to go slow. Techilatam, first. Shebaal HaKimia, the alchemist, tzarich lidvarim meyuchadim lamelacha. He needs specific things, materials and equipment for his work. Lo yugmar lo davar zulatam. He can't accomplish anything without them. Velo yimtzaem bechol et uvchol makom. And he won't find them at all times and in every place. Vabotach be'elohim. But for the one who trusts in Hashem, tarpo muftach lo mikol sibah misibot haolam. His sustenance is assured one way or another from whichever cause among the causes in the world that Hashem will provide. Because remember, Hashem runs the world. Hashem runs the show. Trust Hashem and let Him do the rest. Kemo she'amar katuv, as the Torah says, leman odiacha, the man was provided in order to let you know, ki lo al alechem levado yichya ha'adam, the man does not live on bread alone. There are other sources of man's ability to live besides bread. Ki al kol motza pi Hashem yichya ha'adam, rather by everything that comes from the mouth of God does man live. Ki asibot ena niftzarot mimenu, for the causes of sustenance are not lacking to Hashem, b'chol etu b'chol makom, at all times and in any place. So even when it seems there's no source of sustenance, Hashem supplies to the Baal Bitachon what he needs. That makes him superior to the alchemist, who must have certain materials to carry out his plan of making money. Note, the author now cites various cases where things happen in unexpected ways to supply food to those who were found deserving by Hashem. For example, Ka'asher Yadata, as you know, Midivar Eliyahu im Ha'orvim, from the story of Eliyahu and the ravens, when Eliyahu Navi was hiding from the wrath of Ahav, how did he support himself? Ravens flew into the windows of Ahav's kitchen every day and they brought food to Eliyahu Navi, similar to what happened to... As a matter of interest, we see from the story that Ahav kept a kosher kitchen. Although he had introduced worship of the Baal at the behest of his wife, he didn't forsake the practices of a Jew. Thus, his kitchen was kosher, and the birds brought kosher food to Eliyahu in his hiding place directly from Ahav's kitchen. The im ha'isha halmana. Another example is the case of the widow who didn't have any sustenance, but Eliyahu gave her a source of sustenance in a miraculous way, so that her jug of flour and flask of oil were always full. On another occasion, Eliyahu survived for 40 days on the ugat tzafim v'tzapachat amayim, a cake baked on coals and the pitcher of water, which were miraculously provided to him in the wilderness. Udvar Ovadia im ha'nevi'im. And then there was the episode of Ovadia and the prophets in the days of Ahav. Ovadia hid them so that Isabel the queen should not find them and kill them. Shamar, as it says, the achbi minivei Hashem et ish. I conceal 100 men of the prophets of Hashem. Chamishim chamishim ish b'me'ara. 50 men to each cave. Ve'acholkelem lechem v'mayim, and I sustain them with bread and water. Ve'amar. In addition, it says, kefirim ashu v'ra'evu. Young lions may be poor and hungry. Ve'dorshe Hashem lo yachzeru kol tov. But those who seek Hashem will not lack any good. This teaches that Hashem is even able to sustain people who are not as strong as lions and are therefore not as capable of supporting themselves. Ve'amar, and it says, Yo'et Hashem kedoshav kin machsur le'av. Fear Hashem, you His holy ones, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The Baal Bitachon has more reason to be calm and confident than this alchemist who can change base metals into gold. So to quickly summarize what we're saying, I read a story recently that the Al-Sheikh, who was a rabbi in Tzfat, he gave one time on Shabbat morning, a Dvar Torah, and he was talking about the importance of having emunah and bitachon in Hashem, and how Hashem can provide for you. This is, of course, for the people in the business world. And there was a simple wagon driver who was listening to his Dvar Torah, and he thought to himself, you know, I'm going to apply whatever I'm learning, that whatever the Al-Sheikh is teaching me, into my day-to-day life. So the simple wagon driver, he came home. Question? The simple wagon driver, he decided to come home. He decided to close his business. And he said, I'm going to sit and read Tehillim all day long and let Hashem provide for me, right? Tamim tiyeh Hashem Elokecha. He decided to do it the simple way. Of course, I'm not recommending anyone to quit your jobs tomorrow, to sit home all day and read Tehillim, unless you're on that level and you really believe in it. But this is a fabulous, fabulous story. The wagon driver quits his job. He sits all day at home and he reads Tehillim. A couple weeks go by and he comes upon a massive fortune of wealth. Now the Al-Sheikh, who is from Tzfat, he had many students who came to him and said, how is it possible that us Torah scholars, we're coming, we're sitting and learning in the Kollel all day long, and we're ripping through Masechtas and Gemaras. How is it possible that we're not attaining this massive wealth? We also have Emunah and Bitachon and Hashem. The Al-Sheikh said something beautiful that I can't forget. It can make you really emotional if you focus on it. He said the wagon driver, even though he may not be on the level of you in Torah, he doesn't have the constant battle, the constant battlegrounds in his mind. You know, the constant, the missiles and the attacks and the back and forth and the thoughts and fighting with Hashem's will. He heard the Dvar Torah, he came to Shul on Shabbat, heard the Dvar Torah, he accepted it in a very simple way. He nullified his will, said, Hashem, it's all up to you. I'm going to sit home and read Tehillim. I'm going to trust in my heart that it's all from you. And Hashem sent him a massive fortune. But those of you who are sitting and learning Torah all day, you're arguing. You're arguing with yourself and maybe and this and that, but how does Hashem do it? And when does Hashem do it? And why does Hashem do it? It's too much. Of course, we're not discouraging you to go and to become a Tamid Chacham, but there has to be a point in the person's life where they accept Hashem's will in a simple way. Hashem, it's up to you. I'm going to do my part, and the rest is up to you, to simply accept it, not to fight with yourself. Why am I not married? Why am I not making money? Why is this happening? Why is that not happening? Simple. Take it easy. Happiness equals peace of mind. How does a person attain peace of mind? Not by smoking or drinking. Peace of mind is attained, or by escaping through various means. Peace of mind is attained when you trust Hashem with your heart. Then you can go to sleep at night knowing that Hashem is taking care of you. You can go to sleep at night knowing, wow, look at how many things I have in my life. I'm thinking about what I don't have, and that's exactly what's going to open up the doors for you. When you have the gratitude of what you do have, instead of looking at what you constantly don't have, and when you feel peace in your heart with the relationship that didn't work out, and the business that didn't work out, and whatever is not happening yet, and whatever you think is supposed to happen now, and you have the peace in your heart to accept Hashem's will that I'm exactly where I need to be in my life right now, it's a tremendous feeling, and it can only bring to you bracha in your life. Because I remember I say this all the time, in Judaism it's not about attracting, it's about allowing. Anyone who tells you attracting is lying to you. The fact that we have a soul inside of us from Hashem, we're automatically attracting good things to come into our lives. What do we have to do? We have to allow Hashem to give us good. How do we allow? By removing the blockages, by not being a victim, by not being hard on ourselves, by not walking around with guilt and sadness all day, by not constantly going into a dark place and whatnot. And what's a simple way to do it? To open up your heart to Hashem, to talk to Him, to live with Him, to thank Him for things that might seem crazy to thank Him for. You know, I lost one of my best friends 2 years ago. My grandfather passed away, and I got to a level where it's Hashem Natan, Hashem Lakach, Yishem Hashem Mevorach. It's not the fact that I lost a grandfather; it's the fact that I had one for 23 years. And you see there a simple change in perspective. It opens up doors for you. And Bezrat Hashem, we should all do that. Now, number two, the second advantage over the alchemist. Vashani, the second advantage of the Baal Bitachon over the alchemist is ki ba'la kimya tzarich lema'asim v'malachot, is that the alchemist must perform certain procedures and operations and pay very close attention. Lo yishlam lo chefzo zulatam, he can't achieve his desired result without them. Ve'efshar sheimototu recham v'ashanam, he might even get killed by the odors and the fumes of the chemicals. Im hatmadat avodah, coupled with the uninterrupted work, the orech ha'yigiyah bahem lalav yomam, and the protracted toil by night and by day. Alchemy is not a magical process; it's a long and drawn out chemical procedure. That's why they believed in those days. Vabotach bakel, but he who trusts in Hashem, bevitcha me'apegaim, is safe from mishaps. Velo velibo batuach, and his mind is at ease. Mimitzoharaot, confident that he won't encounter problems. He trusts that Hashem will give him livelihood without endangering his life. I hope you're all reading this to yourself right now, because you have to sew it onto your soul. And that whatever comes to him from Hashem will be with joy and gladness. If you don't believe it, then keep saying it to yourself. Here we see an added point. The one who trusts in Hashem is confident that no matter what happens, it's for his benefit. Even if a mishap occurs, he knows it's for his benefit. Therefore, no matter what happens, he won't be unhappy or depressed. Remember, the very thing about these classes is that you have to come in thinking to yourself that I'm erasing everything society taught me and everything I know up until now, and I'm coming in to learn something new, and we're building up slowly. We're learning how to think. We're learning how to live with Hashem. Very important tip. V'tarpo ba'ala bimnucha, and his sustenance will come to him with peace. V'ashket v'shalva, and quiet and tranquility. Kemo she'ne'emar, as it said, bin'od deshi yarbitzeni, in the grassy meadows he causes me to lay down. Al'me menuchot yinahaleni, he leads me by tranquil waters. David HaMelech is speaking as if he were a flock of sheep. He is saying that Hashem will take care of the Baal Bitachon, and it's not necessary for him to endanger his life in pursuing his livelihood. The third advantage over the alchemist, Vashalishi, and the third advantage of the Baal Bitachon over the alchemist, Ki Baal HaKimia Eno Ma'amin Al Sodo Zulato, is that the alchemist cannot trust anybody with his secrets. Mirato Al Nafsho, for fear of his life. Like we see nowadays, many people, they have a business and they're scared to say the secret, their recipe or how they did it, because they're scared that the competition's going to come and get them. Once he lets the secret out, the government may kill him, or others may try to take over his laboratory and get rid of him. Therefore, he has to do his work in secrecy. But he who trusts in Hashem does not fear anybody sharing his trust. He can tell other people his secret that trusting in Hashem is the best way. Aval, he's even proud of it. As David HaMelech alav ha-shalom wrote, Beloheim batachti, I trust in Hashem. Right? Everybody say after me, I trust in Hashem. Feels good, no? Lo yira, I'm not afraid. Say it with me, I'm not afraid. What's there to be scared of? Maya se'adam li, what can man do to me? But the alchemist cannot relax. His vigilance, because then his life will be in danger. Now, when you study this, you shouldn't fall into the error of thinking that this means since you're secure and you have tranquility, you can lean back and take it easy. Nobody says such a thing. We're talking to people who are working and trying to make a living, such as farmers who are working hard on their fields, or anybody else pursuing a livelihood. Some people mistakenly think that since they have bitachon, all they have to do is work 1 hour a day or nothing at all, and they can trust Hashem to support them. This is not what Chavot HaLevavot is saying. On the contrary, there are many verses in Tanakh that teach that if you don't work, you can expect all kinds of bad things to happen to you. But he's telling us that a person who does work and has bitachon in Hashem has a great advantage over people who are working without bitachon, because they know that it's all from Hashem. By the way, a quick tip, if before you go to work every day, you tell yourself that you're going to make a hishtadlut to make a living, you're actually fulfilling a mitzvah deoraita. So you can go through the whole entire day and not make a dollar, but fulfill a mitzvah. When you wake up in the morning, say, Hashem, I'm going to do my hishtadlut to make a living, and through that, you're fulfilling mitzvah deoraita, even if you don't make any money, because the whole purpose of the work is to keep you busy, right? We say there's two forms of hishtadlut in life. People like to say, what's hishtadlut? What does it mean to put in my effort? Number one, for a person to be busy, because when a person's busy, they're not going to have enough time to sin, or to think about the wrong things, or to go to the wrong places and whatnot. That's the purpose of why Hashem wants a person to be busy. The second reason why a person has to do hishtadlut, because Hashem wants to test you to see, am I on team Jonathan? Am I the one that's making the success? Am I the one that's making the videos? Am I the one that's giving the class? Or is it Hashem? Or if a person, let's say, has a very important business deal, and maybe they're working with a non-Jewish client, and at the meeting they're serving, let's say, non-kosher food, are you going to eat that food in order to appease them? Are you going to shake the girl's hand in order to appease her, in order to make her want to buy your product? Or are you going to say, no, I'm a Jewish person, I have values, and I stick to my values, and I'm on Team Hashem? That's where the money is made. You go into a deal, you go into a date, you go through the motions of things, but the outcome is in Hashem's hands. The outcome is actually already predetermined before it even happens. And all we have to do is to say, please Hashem, and thank you Hashem, and to go into it with confidence. Not to be scared of people, not to be scared of the boss, not to be scared of anybody for that matter. And to always live your life with confidence in Hashem that He's going to take care of you. And the whole purpose of the Hishtadlut is for Hashem to see which side are you on. We're actually going to see in later chapters, I'll just give you like a sneak peek, that if a person goes through their day-to-day life and they constantly go through the tests of the Hishtadlut and they pass them, meaning you pass the test, Hashem gives you a little more, and then you pass. And you go up a little bit more and you pass. You go up a little bit more and you pass. And the person eventually gets to a spiritual level of lofty greatness. It actually says that a person is not going to have to do Hishtadlut anymore. Because if the whole purpose of Hishtadlut is for Hashem to test me, to see which side I'm on, but I keep passing the test, I keep going to every single day to work wearing tzitzit. I'm walking to my job, I'm guarding my eyes. It's a very hot day. There's not new things in the street. The person guards his eyes. Someone talks to me about my friend. Sorry, I don't want to hear Lashon Hara, or I don't want to speak gossip, let's speak positively about that person. When a person goes through their day-to-day motions and they constantly think about Hashem and hold on to Him and bring Hashem with them throughout their life, this is what the Hishtadlut is all about. And when a person grows to a certain level of this spiritual greatness, they're going to be able to receive more tenfold and not have to work for it, because you don't have to work anymore, because you already showed Hashem that you are on His side. Obviously, it's a very far level, but it's very attainable. We just have to believe in ourselves. Number four. The fourth, any questions so far? The fourth advantage over the alchemist, Varavi, and the fourth advantage of the Baal Bitachon, Kibala Kimia, Enon Nimlat Me Hazmin Me Azahav Akesef Abele Etzorko, is that the alchemist cannot refrain from either preparing a large stockpile of gold and silver to be available when he needs it, meaning he's not always going to have available stock, or Shelo Yazmin Mehem Kilum, Ela Kefish Yaspik Lizman Mu'at, or preparing only enough to last a short while. In either case, he's at a disadvantage. Ve'im Yazmin Mimenu Habe, if he prepares a great deal of gold or silver, he will be afraid for his life all his days, lest he lose some of it one way or another, because of any of the reasons that can cause a loss. Once he has amassed a big amount of gold and silver, he's no longer a man of calm and serenity, because he is worried about his gold and silver, and he's also worried about his own safety. And his heart will never be quiet, and he will never be calm because of his fear of the king or the people, who might discovered that he has created gold and silver. The work of the alchemist was illegal because the king didn't want anyone making gold and silver. The king wanted a monopoly over the production of precious metals because he distributed it in the form of currency. Once an individual could manufacture gold and silver, the currency of the realm would be worthless, and so alchemy was illegal. Accordingly, the alchemist, if he actually succeeded in his work, would always be afraid that the king might discover that he had stored away the gold and silver that he created. He would be afraid of the people too, for they might steal it. Thus, if he prepared a large amount of gold and silver, he would never be able to live in serenity. But if he prepares only enough to last him for a short time, it could be that he won't be able to operate his facility when he has an urgent need. The manufacturing process for producing precious metals is not easy, and so he won't be able to get it up and running when he needs money urgently. He may be unable to produce what he needs, because one or more of the resources needed for the process might not be available at that moment when he needs it. He will be caught unprepared. In contrast, for somebody who trusts in Hashem, his trust in Hashem is strong that he will provide his livelihood according to his will. At the time when he wishes, and in the place where he wishes it, right? I'm going to say it again. His trust in Hashem is strong that he will provide his livelihood according to his will. He's not going to have to worry. At the time when he wishes, at the right time, and in the place where he wishes it, and the right place. Hashem will do this just as he nourishes the embryo inside the mother for those nine months. That's quite a feat. How can you get nourishment to a baby inside his mother? But Hashem has prepared a method for that. It is like when Hashem nourishes the afroach betocha betza, a little chick inside the egg. Before it breaks out, how does it nourish itself? Hashem put into the egg certain elements that nourish the chick. Asher en ba makom mefulash likanes elav mimenu davar mechutza. Although there's no entrance from the outside world into the eggshell to feed the chick embryo, Hashem in his unlimited kindness has prepared a way. A similar challenge exists for Va'of Ba'avir, the bird that spends its time flying in the air. Where does it find its food? You might think food is only found in places where things grow. But no, the bird in the air also catches food. It catches things as it passes by. It sees a worm down below, or it sees a fish and swoops down to pick it up and pick up the fish from the water. Yes, the birds are given food, although it seems to us there is no one who is going to feed the birds. The adagim b'maim, and the fish in the water, who feeds them, and yet they find their food. The agimala ketana im chalishutah, and the little ant is supported despite its weakness. V'batzer ha'teref ma'ari im tokfo b'ktzat. Miksat hayamim, and there are days when a lion lacks food and it doesn't have anything to eat, even though it's a powerful animal. Sometimes it happens that a lion is starving, so we see that when Hashem wishes it, even the weakest creatures are fed, and when He doesn't want to feed, that even the strongest ones will go hungry. Ve'amar, as it says, kefirim ashu v'ra'evu, young lions may be poor and hungry, v'dorshe Hashem lo yachzeru kol tov, but those who seek out to Hashem will not lack any good. This means the one who trusts in Hashem does not need any resources to fortify his bitachon. True, he goes through the motions of trying to provide his sustenance. He works, he tills the soil, he gets up every day, he goes to minyan, this is what he has to do. He goes through the motions, phone calls, meetings, whatnot. Certainly, he has to cook food and prepare it for himself. He has to bake, and yet he should know that all of it is being prepared for him by Hashem. And sometimes, even when it seems he won't have anything, Hashem provides sustenance for him. Ve'amar, and it says, Lo ya'iv Hashem nefesh tzaddik. Hashem will not bring hunger upon the soul of the righteous. Ve'amar, and it says, Na'ar. Right? We say this every single day in the Birkat HaMazon. One of the most important psukim to say to yourself every day. I have been a youth and I have also grown old, but I have not seen a righteous man abandoned and his children lacking bread. The ones Hashem wishes to bestow his favor upon are going to survive. Here tzaddik means a person whom Hashem wishes to keep alive, even if they're not completely righteous. Regarding Rasha'im, Hashem allows them to live for the purpose of putting his vengeance upon them in order to demonstrate eventually their downfall. We see that the concepts expressed, like by the way, this is exactly what's happening in the world now, right? The left, the Democrats, they had power for 4 years. And what did Hashem do? A complete 180 of them, a complete v'nahafochu. All the Trump, he got all the court cases and the allegations and whatnot. What did Hashem do? He completely went 180 on all the left, and now in the next election, they don't even have a proper leader. And you see this happening in our lives every single day. All the people that we say, oh, but he did this, and now he's successful, or now this person did this and that. Don't look at the external. We don't know Cheshbono Shamayim. We don't know what's happening in Shamayim. We don't know why things are happening or why things didn't happen. We have to trust Hashem's process. We see that the concepts expressed in these psukim are not just idealistic aspirations, they are principles. The ones whom Hashem decides that He wishes to support, He will support. And by the way, we're seeing here, I was talking about the camels and the birds and the chicken, the embryo. We have a question on Hashem that we're His Jewish people, we're His sons and daughters, and He's not going to take care of us, that Hashem forgot about us, that Hashem forgot to send us our soulmate, or to send us our parnasa, or to send us our health. For however old we are, I'm 24, 24 years of a track record of God supporting me and taking care of me and feeding me every day and making sure that when I'm every time that I get sick, He heals me. Making sure that every time I have a broken heart, He heals it. Making sure that every time I have an issue in my life, it gets taken care of, because I later see with perspective that this actually wasn't a problem to begin with, right? Wisdom is the memory without the emotion. And we see in our life, time and time again, I'm sure every person can look back and to see a time where they didn't believe they were able to get through that difficulty, and to see now how it was all for the best. And I'll explain it to you with a story. There was once upon a time a man who passed away, and we'll call him Reuven. And after Reuven passed away, he came to the world of the truth. He came to the world of the Emet. He came to get judged and whatnot, and the angels come, and they show him his life in sets of, in two sets, and he sees two sets of footprints. He's about to start his life from the moment he was born until the day that he passed away, and he sees two sets of footprints. He asks the angel over there, the high angel, asking, what are these two sets of footprints? And they tell him, one is your set, Reuven, and the other set of footprints is Hashem's. So he sees the day that he was born, he follows the trail of footprints, and he sees the day, let's say, his brother was born, he sees his bar mitzvah, he sees his wedding day, and Baruch Hashem, he's going through his life, and he sees these two sets of footprints, and Hashem is walking with him throughout his entire life. Now he gets to the point in his life where lo aleinu, his father got sick. And now he gets to the point of his life where, let's say, someone in his family passed away, or someone in his family got into a car accident, something really difficult happened to him, or he was engaged and about to get married and the shidduch broke off, or he lost all of his money in business. And he sees pitom in the hard parts of his life, one of the sets of footprints fades away. So he asks the angel, where did the other set of footprints go? And the angel tells him something remarkable. He says, in those times in your life, when things were so hard for you, and you felt that you didn't have the energy to keep it moving, you felt you didn't have the energy to get up in the morning, you felt you didn't have the energy to try to date again, or to try to find a job again, or to try to better yourself again, that is exactly when Hashem picked you up, put you on His back, and carried you through. And I'm sure everybody in this room has had a moment in their life where they felt that they weren't able to get through that test. It was too hard, it was too difficult, and when they got out of it, they thought to themselves, how did I get through that to begin with? That's because Hashem sometimes in our life picks us up, puts us on His back, and carries us through. And we have to really be so grateful to Hashem that He does such endless kindnesses for us. We're going to see one day, of course, but we don't know how many chasadim Hashem does for us on a daily basis. And sometimes, even in our day-to-day life, we can sometimes want to call a friend and we're really struggling, we need to hear their voice, or we need to call someone who's important to us, and that person doesn't answer the phone. A mentor of mine told me, when you make that phone call and you really need to speak to that person and they're not answering the phone, Hashem is telling you, you don't need to hear from them right now, because you're strong enough to get through this. And sometimes we're going out with someone and they reject us, someone that we really invested our efforts into, and we tried so hard, and we did everything we believe was the right way. Or maybe a person got divorced, or maybe a person lost a child and whatnot. Hashem is telling you, Hashem is saving you from that situation. We have to thank Hashem. Hashem breaks our hearts sometimes in order to save our soul. And sometimes it has to be a little bit difficult and a little bit hard. But Bezrat Hashem is a pasuk, you know, really mechazaking pasuk. It says, "Umeaz yetza matok." One way or another, in the end, it's always going to be sweet. We just have to persevere. We just have to stay strong. Even for me, by the way, moving to Miami, I completely put my stuff in my car and I drove all the way down here to Miami with my friend. Obviously, he drove 95% of the way. But even moving to Miami for me was a difficult start. But Baruch Hashem opened up doors for me when I moved here. And that's how we're here today. And there's a studio next door with thousands of dollars of equipment that I didn't pay a dollar for. It was all sponsored. And Baruch Hashem, slowly, I'm putting my life together. Me, Hashem is putting my life together for me, and it's not to speak about myself, but it's just to relate that I understand if life is difficult. I understand if life gets tough, but you know, it's really a shame to come to this class and to not leave with at least trying to talk to Hashem, at least trying to see things in a different perspective, at least trying to find the happiness in your day. Rather seeing that the whole day is happy and seeing that everything in our life is good, because we only see life through our own two eyes. We only see life from our own perspective. Hashem is there on top, everywhere, running the world as He sees fit, and He's doing everything for the best. And Abba, Daddy, He loves you. Akol Tova, it's not just something that we say, it's something that we have to believe, that everything is truly for the best and things have their right time. And why to only be happy when the salvation comes, when the shidduch comes, or when the marriage sorts itself out, or when the business starts rolling, or when you finally start to feel better? Why to only apply the positive thinking then? Why not to be happy when we don't have what we want to receive yet, and when we do receive it, that, by the way, that usually gets you to what you want, because Hashem wants you to be happy in that specific situation, not to just be happy when the salvation comes. And when the salvation finally breaks through, we'll be able to look back at a collective, who knows how long, couple years or couple months of happy days. Yes, show Hashem, I didn't have what I wanted, but I still got up every day and I went to pray in Shachrit in the morning. I didn't have what I wanted, but I didn't go and escape. I didn't damage my brain by let's say, smoking, or I didn't damage my liver by drinking, or I didn't damage my brain by unhealthy thoughts, with negativity, with constant worrying and anxiety and popping pills and whatnot. I didn't just get through the day. No, I actually excelled the day. And I recognized that it wasn't a bad day, it wasn't a bad hour, it wasn't a bad minute. It was merely just something that I perceived the wrong way. And it's not a reason to have a bad moment in your day and to let it ruin the entire day. I said this in the last class, but the Chafetz Chaim writes that our face is not ours, and that's why we have to constantly smile, because we have to constantly smile, because our face is not ours, and we don't know the importance of smiling and wearing a smile, because when we smile to the world, Hashem smiles back at us. Hashem wants us to be happy. Hashem wants us to feel good. Hashem wants us to hit our goals. Hashem wants us to be married and to have atzlacha and to be gadol b'Torah b'ezrat Hashem. We just have to believe in ourselves, and it's a very scary thing, because I recognize in my life that the only obstacle between me and greatness, meaning to be big in the Torah and to do good things in my life, is myself. Our biggest enemy is ourselves. And when we understand that and learn how to develop a loving relationship with ourselves and to love Hashem, and not to be so hard on ourselves if we fall, to always give ourselves courage and good words and to speak to ourselves positively, the potential is endless. We're going to read another page or two. We're going to open up for questions and wrap it up. So we're back on 35 by the second paragraph. And remember, read these words with your lips. You're sowing them onto your soul. And week by week, you're going to see that your life's going to start to change. And you're going to start to see miracles. Amen. Our nation Israel has no means of support. We're wandering among the nations, and throughout many of the centuries, we had no land at all. We were not permitted to do anything except money lending or some other small businesses, and we're still around. We are the ones who have survived, while many other nations, even powerful nations, have gone under. So we see that when Hashem wants a tzaddik to survive, He'll see to it that that person survives. You can see very beautifully. Is this something funny? you can see very beautifully here that it's hashgacha pratit, that when I started the shiur by saying that the Jewish people will survive and persevere, that we're now reading it inside. So that's Pretty amazing. Children are alive because Hashem decides they are going to survive. Yes, there are cases where Hashem decides to take them out of this world. Sometimes He gives them poverty or subjects them to starvation, as happened in the siege of Yerushalayim. It was all according to Hashem's plan. But when Hashem decides He wants someone to live, He is going to make him live despite all the difficulties and all the enemies, despite all the circumstances that would normally prevent his survival. Hashem is the one who will make the decision that a person is to survive. Even though he has no resources that will help him survive, he is going to be able to carry on. The author wishes to contrast the Baal Bitachon with that individual whom people might consider to be the most secure and assured person. Who is that? That's the alchemist who's supposed to know how to transform base metals into gold. With that secret, he has access to unlimited wealth at all times, so he would be an example of somebody who feels secure. And yet, his peace of mind is far weaker than that of the Baal Bitachon. The fifth advantage of over the alchemist, and then we're going to leave you with something and we're going to wrap up. V'achamishi, the fifth advantage of the Baal Bitachon, shebala kimiya tachat ya v'fachad al melachto min agadol v'ad hakatan sheba'am, is that the alchemist, because of his profession, is always in fear and dread of everyone, from the greatest in the land to the lowest. He is afraid that someone will discover his secret and report him to the government as the man who makes gold. Certainly, if people were to know about him, he would be dragged out and condemned. So he lives in constant fear of being exposed. V'abotach b'Elohim, as for the man who trusts in Hashem, meaning he's known as one who trusts Hashem, yiruhu agedolim v'nichbedeh b'nei adam, he will be treated with respect by everyone, including the greatest and most honored of people. Hashem will cause people to respect the man who trusts in him. Even animals and inanimate objects will seek his goodwill and will want to do whatever is in his best interest. When a man trusts in Hashem, or woman of course, he can be confident that things will always turn out in the best possible way. When you trust Hashem, by the way, things are going to go your way. Si'atad Ishmaya. Kemo she'ne'emar b'mizmor, as it says in the Mizmor, Yoshev beseter elyon. By the way, Yoshev beseter elyon. When a person sits in quiet, Hashem says, elyon, I'm going to rise you. The one who sits in the refuge of the Most High from its beginning, ad acharito, to its end. The entire Mizmor is devoted to how Hashem protects those who trust in Him. Ve'omer, and it says, Beshesh tzarot, when six forms of distress confront you, Yatzileka, He will rescue you. Uvsheva, and even when the seventh one comes, that is, even though troubles persist in coming up to confront you, Hashem will persevere in rescuing you. So that lo yiga bechara, no harm will touch you. Bera'av, v'ra'av padecha mimavet. In a time of famine, He will redeem you from death. Iyov continues along these lines, Ad Sof HaInyan, to the end of the subject. In summary, Chovot HaLevavot refers us to a series of verses in various places that speak about the very important benefits granted to people who trust in Hashem. Because this attitude is so precious, it is rewarded greatly by Hashem through a man's life and also in the afterlife. And a person should, by the way, read this again and again and again and again, especially when they're in the middle of their day going through a difficulty. Now this last part over here that says growth with action, training in bitachon, this is going to leave, we did this last week, but we'll do it again quickly. This is going to leave you guys with two practical, you could say, exercises or tips in order to leave this class and have something to practice tomorrow when things start to get crazy again. And Bizrat Hashem, things will start to get less and less crazy because we're going to start living with Bitachon, and every week we're going to get closer and closer to a better life. Before we proceed any further, it is worth giving some guidance on how to acquire Bitachon. After all, you have to do something to acquire it. Below are two important ways to train yourself in Bitachon. These suggestions are valuable and easy to use. You will see that the author speaks more about this subject further on in the Sha'ar. Before we proceed any further, let us stop and think for a moment about how to go about it. We shouldn't continue with our discussion about the importance of the subject if we don't know how to do it practically. How to acquire Bitachon? Suggestion, or I like to say exercise one. The first suggestion is that before you proceed with any activity, ask Hashem for help. Let's say you're a salesman and you're waiting before they admit you to see the president of the company from whom you want an order. So while you're waiting, say, Hashem, please give me success with this customer. Let's say you want to learn a page of Gemara. Before you sit down to learn, say, Hashem, give me success in learning this subject in the Gemara. By the way, every single time that I remember to do this, of course it's a practice, it's not easy. When you say please Hashem before you do something, usually the task always works out perfectly. Let's say you're going to see a potential marriage partner, a date, a shidduch, ask Hashem for success. Even if you're just going for a walk, ask Hashem for success in crossing all the streets. Before you set out for a drive, ask Hashem for help, for success in your trip. And by the way, this doesn't always mean that a person is going to succeed in what they're trying to do in the way that they want to succeed. But by saying, please Hashem, before you do something, even if the date doesn't go well, or that the interview or whatever it is, the job interview doesn't go well, a person's going to be able to feel Hashem with them the whole time, and it's easier to accept. Asking Hashem for help inculcates, which means to instill an attitude into a person's self, in your mind, that the attitude that all depends on Hashem, and that's bitachon, to constantly instill into ourselves that it's all from Hashem and He's with us. Of course, you should do things to protect yourself. You should try to have good merchandise and a good sales line to try to sell your merchandise. Of course, you have to sit and learn with diligence. Every Jew should try to do that. But still, you should know that despite all your efforts, you're trusting in Hashem. And that the prayer you say beforehand is a very important method of teaching yourself this trust. Interestingly enough, we started the class talking about prayer. In conclusion, whatever you're about to do, no matter how unimportant it may seem, beforehand say, Hashem, help me carry this out. Tonight before the class, I was driving here and I said, Hashem, please help me to give a good class tonight. You can say it in English, in Yiddish, or in Hebrew. By doing it regularly, you're teaching yourself that no matter what you do, it depends on Hashem. That's bitachon. Knowing that we do our best, we go through the motions, but the outcome is in Hashem's hands. How to acquire bitachon, suggestion 2. Any questions on that one? Hashem. The second suggestion is that when the planned activity is accomplished, you should make it your business to be profuse in thanking Hashem. Let's say you're a salesman and you get the order you were hoping for. Thank Hashem sincerely and at length. Likewise, if you arrive safely or you succeed in getting a good shidduch and you get engaged and married and whatnot, thank Hashem. After you're married, consider what He did for you. He over here is capital H, meaning Hashem. By thanking Hashem, you're refusing to attribute your success to any external factors. You're acknowledging that it's all because of Hashem. I'll actually take this a step further, and I'll say to thank Hashem for difficulties in our life, right? And Rav Arush brings down, if a person says Mizmor LaTodah, chapter 100, or Kuf of Tehillim, 13 times, 13 is the gematria of Ahava. This is a very important thing to do when a person is going through a difficult time, to show Hashem that you love him for the difficulty. Because sometimes when the difficulty feels like it's happening forever, le'olam, le'olam has the same letters as the word ne'elam, meaning that the kindness in the difficulty that feels like it's happening forever is revealed. Meaning the reason why a person is not married or not successful yet, whatever they want to succeed in, or maybe they didn't achieve a certain personal goal yet, the reason why it didn't happen yet is there's a revealed kindness of why it didn't happen yet. Maybe a person's not ready yet, maybe the other person's not ready yet, maybe it's not the right time, maybe Hashem wants you to grow a little bit more. But one thing that we know for sure in our life is that the best thing that we can do is to get closer to Hashem. For the men, of course, I'm going to speak to the men. 3 minyanim a day, you know, learning where you can. Of course, you don't have to jump to this, right? Baruch kevod Hashem imekomo. Get closer to Hashem from where you're at. If you're not going to any minyan, take upon yourself slowly. A minyan here, a minyan there. Start putting tefillin every day. That's easy. 4 minutes a day where you put on tefillin, you're doing tremendous things in Shemayim and bringing tremendous success into your life. Guarding your eyes, huge. Guarding your tongue, not speaking Lashon Hara, huge. Working on yourself, taking care of your physical fitness, talking to Hashem. These things are so important to actually take care of ourselves, because when the time comes that, of course, the other half does come around, we want to be ready to be a giver and to uphold the house and to do the right things. And of course, for the women, the same thing. For girls, to organize maybe Hafreshat Chalot or Tehillim groups or to get together with each other and to do mitzvot, to do chesed, whatever it is, to volunteer. Usually when we're feeling difficulty in our life and when we're feeling like things are hard, that's the time to go and to volunteer. That's the time to go and to do chesed, to go and to do good things. Because remember, when we're feeling very, very, that darkness and that sadness, it's usually because we're reacting to things that are happening in our life. And the easy way to get out of it is to right away go and to start creating. Go do something good for someone else. Remember, usually when we're going through a hard time, it's because we're thinking about ourselves. Why am I not married? Why am I not successful? Why is this happening to me? Me, 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 I, ego. Start thinking about another person. Do something good for someone else. Think about, maybe call a friend you haven't spoken to in a long time. Maybe call someone that you maybe could mend the relationship with. Maybe call your mom and tell her you love her. Whatever it may be, think about the other person. And usually when you do things for other people and think about the other person, they usually end up reciprocating, and that's how we build relationships in our lives. To not think about ourselves, to do things for other people. And that's, of course, very practical ways to start coming closer to Hashem slowly. We don't know how much it makes Hashem happy to do these things that we think are small. That's greatness, by the way. Greatness is when you do these amazing little things behind closed doors. In conclusion, after you have done something, thank Hashem. Even if the sales order is not given to you, thank Him for not getting the order. Because whatever happens is certainly for your benefit. Let's say you went out with a prospective shidduch and you were turned down. Thank Hashem. I didn't even know what it was going to say, but I felt to say that we should thank Hashem for things that don't work out well. And you can see, literally a couple lines later, we're talking about something that doesn't go our way, and to thank Hashem for it. Hashem is here, guys. Baruch Hashem, who knows from what He saved you. And therefore, you have to thank Hashem for whatever happens. Of course, if things turn out the way you originally wanted, you surely have to thank Hashem. You should continue to thank Hashem after every step all day long from morning till night. The two suggestions work together so that when you go to sleep, you should say, please Hashem, see that I wake up alive in the morning. Then, when you get up in the morning, you should say in effect, thank you for returning my life to me. You are constantly training yourself on both sides, beforehand and afterwards. And that is one of the most valuable approaches to acquire this midav bitachon in Hashem. So remember, before we do something, to say please Hashem, and after we do something, to say thank you Hashem. And that will wrap it up. I do want to share a personal story. I think it'll be nice to do this. Of course, many of you know me from social media and the content that I produce and create. And Hashem put it in my mind to say this to you guys, to whoever needs to hear it. I also think it makes the classes interesting to sometimes share personal stories and whatnot. So many times, of course, we can look on social media. It's also very important now, it's the weeks of Shovavim. And we could think that, you know, we see someone online who looks happy and to think their life is perfect. Many times people could, let's say, even look at my page and to say, wow, look at this guy. He's interviewing rabbis, he's doing all this fun stuff. His life must be so amazing and so perfect. I'm coming here to tell you, as that person, that it's far from the truth. When I first started to make content, my grandfather got really sick. He was a diabetic, he had type 2, and he started to have an infection that traveled down his leg. And about, like I was saying, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, was when I got my I have a friend, I'm not going to say his name, but his father is a very wealthy person, and he sponsored 2,600 pairs of tefillin to orphans in Israel, and he invited me to come to Israel to shoot content at the event. I don't think anybody here heard the story, right? I said this once in New York. So my friend invites me to this event. Isha Ribo was going to be there, the Baba Sali's daughter, Rav Lau, the chief Ashkenazi rabbi, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, the chief Sephardic rabbi, a whole bunch of my favorite people. I think even Akiva passed by very briefly, and he invited me to come and to obviously get a bunch of interviews, to shoot content, and me and my friend Oren were like, wow, such a fun, amazing thing. Let's go to Israel. And by the way, I booked this trip to Israel not knowing what was about to happen. Of course, we get to Israel, we stop by my grandparents, and we end up making our way up to Yerushalayim for the big day. I think it was a Thursday. Now we get to the event, and I kid you not, the moment I get to the event, like we drive up, the security guard checks us through. I even remember he gave us a little bit of problems. The second that we park our car in front of the hall, it was a big hall in Yerushalayim, I forgot what it's called. I don't remember the name, but the second that we parked at the front of the hall, I get a text from my parents saying, your grandfather just died. And that to me was like the biggest knockout punch. And I'm gonna tell you what happens next. Of course, I walk into the event and my head's like all over the place. I'm like, wait, what just happened? Like, it's the biggest shocker in your life when something like this happens to you. Of course, he was very close to me. And of course, it still hurts till this day because he's a person that, of course, I wanted to like dance at my wedding to see his great grandkids and whatnot. But I'm very grateful for how it happened. All of my favorite people were at that event. Ishai Rebo, all the people I named, all the rabbis, even Rabbi Mizrahi happened to be there by surprise. All of my favorite people were there at that event at the peak of my suffering. It wasn't like I got the text when I, and of course, I don't mean for anybody to compare or to relate, this is just how I took it. I didn't get the text when I was by myself. I was with my best friend. I had all amazing people around me. I remember even, I have a picture. I went up to the Baba Sali's daughter and I told her that my grandfather just passed away, and she was like in shock. She was a Moroccan lady, of course. You know how they react to news. And I even started to make her laugh. I told the Baba Sali's daughter a joke. I said, you know, I'm not going to say it in Hebrew. I don't know if anyone knows, doesn't speak Hebrew. But I said, you know how your father, he would take the, it's pretty cool, his father was the Baba Sali. I said, you know how your father would take the arak and to have an unlimited, bottle. You know how the Baba Sali, he would pour infinite arak. I pulled out my wallet and I told her, can you bless my wallet that it's going to be infinite $100 bills coming out? And she started to laugh. And that was really my day. I was with amazing people. But the craziest part is that my grandfather, I didn't know this at the time, but he bought a grave in Israel. And immediately after he passed away, they shipped his body to Israel and they buried him in Beersheba. And since I was there, I was able to go down and to bury my grandfather. I picked up his body, I carried it to the grave, and there was the Ethiopian guy there who working there, and he was saying, oh, achi pam echad, shovel it one time. And I almost pushed him, get out of my way. I'm burying my grandfather. This is my mitzvah. So even though the hardest thing happened to me, again, Hashem natan, Hashem lakachi, Hashem mevorach. Hashem gave it to you, and Hashem took it away, and may Hashem's name be blessed forever. May we thank Hashem for it. And of course, it's hard. Sometimes in life we go through things and we cry. And believe me, when the funeral was over, I was crying like a baby. But it's not, this is just the motion of going through things. Ultimately, I was able to have a grandfather, and I'm so appreciative for him and the memories I have with him. He was a welder when I was 19. He taught me the whole business, and we spent, I think, 2 summers together. So I'm appreciative for what I had. And of course, if a person is dating and they were in that relationship and they really wanted it to work and chas v'shalom, it doesn't work, appreciate the memories with that person. If a person is in the business world and things are not working out, if a person is looking for a job and they can't find one, let's say, appreciate the time where you don't have a job. Appreciate the fact that you're able to still go home tonight, to sleep on a warm bed, to wake up in the morning, and to be able to have opportunity to go out and to do your day. Now, of course, everyone has difficult things they go through in this world, but there's a reason why, Vayyarev, Vayyiboker. There's a reason why Hashem created first the dark and then the light. There's a reason why, Lagid Baboker Chazdecha Ve'munadcha Balelot. There's a reason why it's easy to praise Hashem when things are going well, but our faith is really really tested in the dark times. And really, Be'ezrat Hashem, to get to a level in our Emunah, where we're going to be able to perceive the dark times as merely being distant from our Creator. And I can promise you, in the most difficult of times, in the most difficult of things that are happening to a person in their life, there's always going to be a way to see that how it was met Hashem. A mentor of mine, Gedalia Fenster, when I met him, it was the day that his son passed away. His son passed away on Rav Nachman's yard site. He bases all of his classes on Rav Nachman. Obviously, you see again, horrible tragedy, horrible event, but Hashem is speaking to us. Rav Nachman, by the way, also lost his son before he passed away. So we can really see that all these difficulties that we go through in our life, the solution to everything is to get closer to Hashem. And Be'ezrat Hashem, through coming every week and through learning the teachings of the Shara Bitachon, we're going to be able to slowly, slowly get closer to Hashem, to live with Hashem, to feel Him in our heart, and to be able to live a better life and to feel better about ourselves and to feel better about what's going on and to be happy in the midst of crisis and to be happy with anything that's going on. Are there any questions? No? Okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming. And may Hashem bless us all, that the singles should get married this year. The people that are married should have many children. Everybody in the business world should have lots of parnasah. We should all get closer to Hashem, to the limud of the Torah. And the light of the Torah should be able to touch us in our own lives. My name is Jonathan Ben Shimol, and as it goes, I approve this message.
Anyone lost a red bracelet?